Same-sex attractions, everyone has a different story. The root of my same-sex attractions was fear. Somebody else, it may be something else. So there's no cookie cutter story. And this is why it is so important that when we have a person come to us and say, I am gay, well, can we listen to their hearts? Can we listen to their story? Can we walk with people?
This is the Holy Wit Podcast, a place where we take a deep dive off the pulpit and into the muddy waters of everyday living. A place where you will hear real life stories from regular everyday people who are trying to follow the basic instructions before leaving Earth.
Let's remove the fluff and the mask and talk about the things most people avoid. And today we have a special treat for you as we wrap up our response to the Heaven Bent podcast by Tara Jean Stevens and launch into a new direction in how to relate to people who live lifestyles that make us uncomfortable. This podcast begins a series where we talk about authentic Christians who live with same-sex attraction and how the church has misunderstood this experience. I have the awesome privilege of introducing you to my guest, a woman who knows firsthand what it is like to be ridiculed, misjudged, and misunderstood by those in the church who are supposed to be known for the love of God instead of censorious, judgmental opinions. She is the author of the book, When Gay Comes Home, Wilna Van Beek. This topic really interests me, the same-sex attraction and how a Christian dealing with same-sex attraction is treated in the church, is treated among Christians. What can the church do better as far as not the building, but as people of God? What are we missing? What are we not understanding about it? And it really comes from at one of the weekends, we had a ministry prayer night for all the participants to receive individual prayer. And this gentleman came up to me. He was three brothers. He was one of a few brothers, and his brothers were really macho go-getters, and their dad was really inspired that or encouraged that or demanded that from his boys, and they brought the brother to the weekend so that he can get deliverance from a spirit of homosexuality. And I was one of the people that happened to, he drew up my name, my team's name.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And we listened, like, and we were only supposed to spend 15 minutes with him. We ended up spending an hour with him because I just felt that the Lord wasn't letting me let him go. I couldn't let him go. And I said to him, listen, he was an artist and he didn't understand why his father was rejecting him because he wasn't a football player. He's like, I'm an artist. My brothers are football players, but I'm an artist. So therefore he believed that he was gay because he was different than his brothers. And I said to him that night, I said, if you never, ever pick up a football, you are 100% male.
Yeah.
If all you do is draw pictures and create art, you are 100% male.
Absolutely.
And the next day he came and he gave a testimony at the end and he said, that is changing his life. That he took away. And he goes, he was confused because he really wants to be married to a woman and he really wants the family, but he finds himself so sexually attracted to men. And so then he came up to me a while later when I saw him in church and he goes, I'm really working on it. I'm not there yet. And I said, you know what? You don't have to answer to me. The Lord loves your heart. He loves who you are. And if you're working on it, this is your desire. Nobody's telling you that you have to. Then that's going to please God. It's got to please God. And I got thinking after that, I wonder how many people are just so confused in their identity and how many people are set on their identity. And they're like, yeah, no bones about it. I'm attracted to the same sex, but I'm a Christian living all out for Christ. So I want to meet more people like that. And I want to understand so that I could inspire that conversation among the body. Right. That's like,
wow. That's so good. You know, have you read my book?
No, I didn't even know about you till JoJo mentioned.
Oh boy. Oh yeah. Boy. Yes. So of course, you know, and I don't know exactly what we're going to talk, you know, and how long we're going to talk today, but maybe we do another podcast. Because, sure. You know, my main intercessor, she says, how long do you think this is going to be? I said, you know what? According to me, the question that you asked me about how to deal with this in the church, I can be done in 10 minutes, you know, because we make it so complicated. But yeah. She laughed and she said, no, this topic, you can never talk just for 15 minutes. But anyway, yeah. My story of redemption is... Part of it is I went to Elijah House where the Lord showed me the root of my same-sex attractions. And when the root was exposed, which was fear, and as I dealt with the root, today I can say my same-sex attractions no longer exist. So even what you are doing, inner healing, is this is what we need to pay attention to. But maybe we talk about it during the podcast. I don't know. Maybe we are going ahead of ourselves here. But please consider to read my story. Yeah. And maybe it will help you too to understand. But this is what the church needs to understand. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a root cause for the fact that people are struggling with their identity. And when that root can be exposed and dealt with, many receive healing in their hearts. God is at work, but we need to be a safe place for them. We need to be patient with them. We need to love them. We need to willing to walk with them. And this is why, you know, the answer is not complicated, what I want to give to you today, but I guess I am digressing here. So I just feel so connected to what you are doing, you know, so thank you for the opportunity to have a chat.
Well, thank you for wanting to chat. I mean, this is fantastic. How did you find you were treated in the church among Christians? What is it that we can be doing better? And why is it about your sexuality? Why is identity so tightly linked to your sexuality? And just a caveat on the side, Wilna, we say the same thing to single heterosexual people. Sex is only for marriage.
Right.
I don't care if you're gay or straight. Sex
exactly.
is only in marriage.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's
and so then it brings up another conversation. Why do we turn away and ignore the heterosexual single people who are sleeping around, but we are so focused on the same sex, on the gay relationships?
Right.
It just seems hypocritical.
Exactly. Or so you have a lot of questions. I hope that you are going to ask each one again because I won't remember everything. So.
Okay. So let's start off with your story. So you said at the beginning, the Lord really dealt with the root of your same-sex attraction to be fear. So let's start there.
Okay. My story goes way back when, of course, my book, When Gay Comes Home, tell my whole story and how I grew up believing that I don't want to be a girl. I wanted to be a boy. And, you know, in South Africa, there was a myth that said, if you can run under a rainbow, it will change your sex. So I tried to run under every rainbow that I saw because I just wanted to be a boy. But my whole thing was, and of course, I didn't understand. I had no idea. When I wanted to be a boy, I knew I was different, but I didn't understand it until way later in my life. I only started into my first homosexual relationship when I was going to university, when I entered into my first homosexual relationship. But even at that time, my mom gave me a Bible when I was 8. And so I started to read my Bible. Truth entered into my heart. So when I got exposed to, same-sex relationship, I knew that it wasn't God's will for my life because I have read my Bible and that that was not God's will. But regardless, I tried to change myself. I worked so hard. You know, people told me, Vilna, just have sex with a man and you'll be cured. Or, you know, I was one of them that would go to church every Sunday. And, you know, if the pastor would say, come to the front and pray for something, I would go to the front because I just wanted for this to just go away. And so, and of course, that didn't happen. And you know, that's a whole another topic that I can talk about. It's like pray the gay away. You know, we know that God can do miracles in a moment, but many people will journey with same-sex attractions until the day that they die. You know, that's the other reality. But anyway, I digress here. So for me, it was a deep struggle. And just to give a little bit of background, in the church where I grew up and in my community, people like me, you couldn't even talk about it because when I would try to say what was on my heart, you know, I got judged and I got ridiculed. In fact, in the area that I grew up, a farming community, they made jokes about me because I was wearing boy clothes because I wanted to be a boy. I was wearing short hair as I'm still doing today, you know, and it doesn't mean when a girl wants short hair, she exactly. It's like, oh, she's now, you know, she may be gay or something like that, you know. Anyway, they actually teased me with a name that is called in Afrikaans, Sienkie, which means little boy. And you know what? Every time the Christians in my community would tease me and would call me that name, it was a knife stabbing in my heart. And for this reason, this is why I ran away. People ask me, why are you living in Canada? It is because I wanted to run away from that, from being not accepted, not loved, not being understood, not wanting to listen to my story or listen to my heart, because this is what I tell many people. We need to not look at people's lifestyles, but pay attention to their hearts. So anyway, that's just a little bit about kind of growing up. Now, I think it's important to share with you what happened to me when I entered into my first homosexual relationship. I didn't tell my parents. I didn't tell my family. It was just obvious. But my mother, bless her heart, she passed away in 2015 already. The way my mom wanted to deal with this was from control. So her first reaction was anger and wrote me out of her will. She said, if you don't change, you're not going to inherit nothing from me. And the second thing she did, she sent me to a psychiatrist who, it was a very, very negative experience, which we call, activists call this today conversion therapy. Now, that's another topic for another day. But what happened to me at the psychiatrist's office, he had a hospital office. And the second visit when I arrived there, he said, well, we're gonna go to a different room today. And that when I got to the room, it was a hospital bed. They made me lay down on the bed. They bound my hands and my feet on the bed. He injected me with a substance to put me into hypnosis. And then he pounded me with stuff and not gracious words, but it's like, you're going to go straight to hell and you need to change and you are this and you are that. And I'm laying here on the bed. I just want to run away because none of it was compassionate. And so that put me into a place of, I didn't trust nobody because he was supposed to be a Christian psychiatrist. And so that was reason for me to keep running away. And those are the type of things that you don't wish for anybody to happen to them. So for decades and decades, I went inside internally. I didn't know who to talk to. I didn't want to live a homosexual life, but where do I go? Because if I go to people that I think that love me, when I start to talk about it, what would come out of their mouths was either ridicule or judgment or jokes or something like that. So those are the things that unfortunately has happened in my church community. And so I can say that the biggest and the most hurt I experienced in my life was from the church. And okay, fast forward. It was only when I turned 50, that was in 2014, I was already living in Canada, when my sisters came to visit me for my 50th birthday, all the way from South Africa. Mm-hmm. After they left, before I share that, I knew that when they come to visit, we were going to talk about our childhood, because all of us dealt with the way how we grew up in a different way. And I grew up in a house where we went to church on Sundays, but there was a lot of abuse, physical abuse and mental and verbal abuse. And the way I reacted to it was different than the way my sisters reacted. But anyway, when they came to visit, I knew we were going to talk about our childhood because we have never done that before. After they left, 2 weeks later, anger started to surface in my heart. And I had no idea where that was coming from. I even started to hit my dog. I got so angry at my dog one day and I was like, I'm a dog lover. What is happening to me? So I reached out to my pastor. I reached out to some Christian friends and nobody really could help me. And then somebody told me, said, Vilna, you need to go to inner healing ministry. And so, of course, I tried to find out where to go and discovered a wonderful Elijah House in Idaho. Their schedule was wide open, you know, and God made a way financially for me to go. And at that time, for a whole week, the first day after I came home, I stayed with a friend. I said to her, I said, I think I'm going to die. Because, you know, I wrote a book before I went, a book by Peter Cesare. I don't know if you've ever read it. But it's about, he says, sometimes you need to go back before you go forward. And so I knew, and in the sessions, the Holy Spirit took me back mm-hmm. into my mother's womb and showed me what happened to me. And the root of my same-sex attractions was fear. So when I was in my mother's womb, I picked up on what was happening outside, and I made vows in my mother's womb that the day that I was born, I would push all men away because I was afraid. I was afraid of the aggression and the anger and the stuff that happened towards from my father towards my mother and vice versa. And I said that I would just push all men away. I was actually told by my own father that I rejected him. I would not allow him to touch me. I was told, even my grandfather, he could not hold me as a baby. I would scream. And unfortunately, my grandfather died when I was a year and a half. So he never could hold on to me. So this fear of men pushed me into the arms of women over time, and it became sexualized, and it ended up being same-sex attractions, because we know the enemy of our soul, right? And so it became sexualized over time. So I describe this as fear is a bad root. The bad root will bear bad fruit. I had anger issues, which was dealt with then at Elijah's house. I had bitterness. I had unforgiveness towards men. So after all of that was dealt with at Elijah's house, I discovered about 6 months later that I had no more fear towards men. And I discovered later that I experienced no more same-sex attraction. So this is the reality. My same-sex attractions only went away when I was 50. What if people all gave up on me? What if they stopped praying for me? And this is what I say to the church. We need to become that hospital where this is a safe place, because not everybody can afford to go to an inner healer ministry. We are supposed to be that. And so can I, if we say that we are a Christian, if we say we are the body of Christ and we are the church, and Jesus is ambassadors. He left, he went to heaven. After he died, he rose again. He's in heaven right now. And then he said, I sent you the Holy Spirit to be with you, to help you, to teach you, to become, to be my ambassadors. You know, I love that verse in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5, where Jesus says, verse 18, 19, 20, he says, I have made a way. I have built a bridge between you and the Father, right? He died for us. He made a way. But then he says, now you go and do the same. So this is what I believe what we need to learn. You talked earlier about discipleship. This is what you and I are doing right now, mm-hmm. because the topic of homosexuality, we need to disciple people on how to become a hospital, mm-hmm. and not just to the homosexual people, but to anybody that is broken, anybody. And you mentioned earlier the thing about the heterosexual single people that sleep around. Well, we cannot elevate just the topic of or the sin of living and practicing a homosexual life. What about everything else that the Bible is mentioning in the same verses where the Bible talks about this and this and this and this and this and this and this? If you do this, you will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Yep. Amen. Amen. And it's in there a few times. And it says, and the NIV, the new NIV took it out. It used to say homosexual offenders would in that list, the greedy, the idolatries, or the idolater, the homosexual offenders. And it gave a different context to it that says, okay, if you have same-sex attraction, if you struggle with that, that's different than offending it. And actually entering into a sexualized relationship with somebody of the same sex. But it also said the sexual immorality was part of that list. And that people will argue saying, well, the Bible doesn't specifically say sex before marriage. I'm like, what do you think sexual immorality is?
Right. Are you asking me?
No, this is what I would
the Bible.
Ask,
okay.
This is what I would ask people. Yeah. Saying that if you're looking for the Bible to lay it out word for word so that what you expect it to say and the answer you hope that it gives, you're not going to find it. You need to understand what it's saying. And that's when my husband would start saying to people, why do you have a problem with this person who's struggling with homosexuality? You don't have a problem with your son or your daughter that's sleeping around town unmarried. Yeah. Or is married and having multiple affairs.
Absolutely.
Right? Like we've got to bring this down. We've got to bring it back to where it is. And I love that you said it's so simple. It's a 10-minute conversation. But for some reason, we've made an enemy. The church has made an enemy of those who struggle with it, where we don't separate the sin from the person. And we seem to pick on the sin that we ourselves don't struggle with. And I once heard somebody say that the reason why so many pastors will stand up on the pulpit and they'll preach about homosexuality and how it's wrong, but they won't talk about how men can heal from their pornography addictions. He goes, it's probably because you can guarantee that that pastor struggles with porn.
Yep.
And so he's not going to talk about things that he struggles with, but because he does not struggle with same-sex attraction or homosexuality, it's easy for them to pick on it. And that opened up a whole understanding. So when I listen to pastors preach, I pay attention to what they're not talking about.
Yeah. You know, while you are saying this, it takes me back to a very hard word that the Lord spoke to me that I needed to share with a group of leaders, world leaders, as well as pastors, at a conference where I was a keynote speaker 2 years ago. So that was April of 2019. The word was this. Jesus said that I have left many churches long time ago. Now, we can talk about that because what we have brought into the church is there's many things in the church today that is not of God. It's not of the Holy Spirit. The second thing he said is church doors need to close. We need to start fresh and we need to go back to basics and start over. Now, in April of 2019, I had no idea. Well, number one, I was trembling to share that word and people did not appreciate that. But I did not know COVID was going to hit and that church doors really shut. And I do believe that there's a shaking, there's a shifting happening. You have mentioned, you are talking about in this podcast about things that has not been talked about on the pulpit or from the pulpit. And you know what? What I share many times, people don't want to hear this because truth hurts. And you ask me, what do we do as a church, and how do we minister to people and stuff like that? Well, number one, it starts with you and I, and it's not complicated, but we need to go back to the basics. You and I and everybody listening to this podcast need to answer one question, just one. How do you view the LGBTQ community? Are you their judge or their advocate? And when we are their advocate, it doesn't mean we affirm everything that they are doing. We become their advocate for their souls, for their hearts, because that is what it means to be an ambassador for Christ, because Jesus says, I don't want anybody to perish. And so it is about people's hearts. You know, my gay adopted son, and I won't give his name and I won't tell a lot about his story right now. I have never prayed for him to be changed. You know what I prayed for him? God heal his heart. And this is what we need to pray for people who come to us, who struggle. Doesn't matter if it's homosexuality, if it's pornography, or if it's a drug addiction or whatever. Is we gotta become that safe place and be that safe place. You know, so that question that I just asked, if you are not their advocate, And if you are their judge, we have to repent. Mm-hmm. That's where it starts. The church needs to repent for how we have dealt with this in the past. And they will say, oh, yeah, we have repented. No, no. We are not done repenting. We haven't done being humble about how we mistreat members of the LGBTQ community. That's where it starts. So what is coming up in your heart? How do you see them? How do you view them? And if there's anything less than looking at them through the lenses of Jesus, then I would say to you, the listener, ask the Lord to help you put the Jesus glasses on. And that's what I describe in my book. Look at people through the lenses of Jesus. And that's where we start. And that's simple, right? Yeah. It's not complicated.
No. We are called to love. We are to be known for our love. When we can reach out and touch the lepers of society with the love of Christ, lives will be transformed. Not only for the leper, but for you as well. The more you reach out to those who make you uncomfortable or those you have a prejudice against, the more Holy Spirit will heal your heart as well. Join us next week as Vilna and I move our conversation to what happens while we are repenting for being unloving and unaccepting of people who are different, including those who have same-sex attraction.